and the other games in which we did not win, but we were, as I say, and where we were outscored in those games. We had technical issues. We made a few mistakes here and there, but we competed extremely well. I'm not saying we didn't compete hard in this game, but we're not at the right times to match intensity or match scores. The other games, we were able to match a score, get back, maybe make a mistake. But in this game, we did not do that enough, and that's something that we got to make sure that we don't let happen. And we had opportunities to do it, and we had some missed failures and some things that I think, you know, if you score then or you make those plays in, you have a chance to really change the momentum of the game. And that's what we never were able to do. But our fans deserve much better than that, and we need to play much better than that. That's plain and simple. So, questions?
I mean, Coach, from your perspective, what needs to change to get this thing moving in the right direction?
Our execution and in key moments, how we get prepared and understand what we got to do and understand how to relax and make the play at that moment. And also keep the intensity and keep the fire to, no matter if it doesn't, just keep playing the next play. Keep playing the next play, which, you know, you kids, there's a want to in there, but you got to go out and you got to execute, and we got to coach them in that regard. And that's exactly what's got to happen. It's not brain surgery, but we got to make sure that we have people that present it the right way, prepare it the right way, then execute it the right way.
Jimbo, you kind of touched on the fire there. Did you not see that Friday night?
I think there was energy and passion, but I think when, you know, you've had young guys and they've had two or three or four times that thing has happened, I think sometimes you go, oh, God, you know what I mean? And instead of saying just keep fighting and instead of just looking at it, you know, looking at a fire, you go fight the fire. You know what I'm saying? And I think that happened. I think there was passion. I think there was want. There was no, isn't, because you go back to the goal line stand. You had three plays on the 1 yard line. They played their tails off on defense. And give effort. On offense, you still move the ball. Whether we did in the second half, it wasn't lack of effort. It was lack of execution. First half, we moved the football. We didn't finish the drives. We made two critical mistakes on turnovers that cost us those situations. But, you know, you can't, even when you sit back, it's like a boxer. Once he gets hit in the face, you gotta keep coming no matter what with passion and desire that way. Instead of going back and evaluating everything, you gotta push. And that's something we had done before and fought our way through things and were able to make it very competitive in the situations. That's what we got to get back to.
Was that the most frustrating thing?
Yes, it was. I think it was. And, you know, getting that, you know, not there wasn't no fight, but just to respond immediately. You know what I'm saying? And we could have.
James Blackman, how is he – what happened in the second half? He didn't look maybe like the same kid that.
Well, the first half when he had mistakes.
Oh, is it okay?
Well, the first half, I mean, we had opportunities on the goal line. I mean, we have a throw that is there, and just as I say, flash looked it. If you ever look at something at what I call flash looking, sometimes you go through something too fast. You don't just let it slow down and read, and you get that with young players sometimes. I mean, there's an opportunity and you look at it, but you don't slow it down and read it just the right way, and then on the. The second one, the second interception, had the same thing. He looked outside in, said inside out. We have a nice slant route that we're going to pick up first down, be in point range, you know, in that regard. Second half made some things, but guys around us, we missed two short yardages, missed a third and one, a fourth and one, dropped a pass on the first drive for a first down, have an opportunity to get a first down. So it wasn't just him as much as in that half, but I thought the opportunities in the first half he could have taken better advantage of.
Are you adding more to his plate as the season goes on?
A little bit, but not. Those are things that we have to in certain games, but those are things that we rep extensively that he is, and he's executed very well at times. But sometimes with young players, and you want to go do a lot. You know, you say, okay, I want to make sure I make the play, and sometimes you, it's not, say, try too hard, or you just go too fast in your mind mentally. You know what I'm saying? He's got to slow it back down, and some of the drives like he did later in games earlier in the year.
Coach, for James Blackman, this is his introduction to college football mentally. Oh, how is
tough.
He dealing with this? And how do you expect him to continue on after such a tough freshman year?
I mean, he responded well, and that's part of continuing. You have to grow in this. You have to learn from this. We have to teach him from this, and he has to learn from it. But his attitude and demeanor are very good. I mean, it matters to him. He cares. He's watching the film with you on the way back on the plane. I mean, he sees those, and then you can see it. I should have done that. And yes, I knew to do that. I did know to do that. You know, but we had, so in a lot of players in that regard when you're watching the film. But, you know, it's just a process that you got to go through, and sometimes it happens. And now you have to go back, make sure you reboot it. Like I say, on the computer, reboot him back up, make sure he understands what he does, and go play.
just to follow up, is there a difference between how he is dealing with this level of disappointment versus how the seniors and upperclassmen and people who are used to success dealing with it?
Not at all. I don't think so at all.
Jimbo, former guy Telvin Smith rewarded with a contract by the Jaguars last week. I was just wondering if you could kind of touch on his drive and what he's done to kind of earn that.
Amazing. And I talked to him right afterwards. I mean, literally on the way back, we texted and called, and it was an amazing conversation. We reminisced about a lot of the times and when we recruited and almost didn't come and was going to change his mind in the Burger King parking lot. And we had a two-hour conversation. He weighed 194 pounds, and everyone told me I was crazy for recruiting him because he wasn't big enough. And I mean, the whole ball of wax. And but he was just, you have a guy that has always been told he's too small, too this, too that. All he does is play and lead and have a passion and a heart that's second to none. As much as anybody, one of the top guys I've ever been around in my life. And he impacts that on other guys and what he's done. And, I mean, even there, I mean, the Jags always, I think when they drafted him, thought he was too small to do this and do that. And he hit a $50 million contract, and I think his first contract, well, it was $211,000 guaranteed. I think it was $211,000 guaranteed. This one hits $50 million, so I don't know. I'm not sure the total thing, but, I mean, it just shows you what a guy that if you quit listening to what they say, what's going on out there, that, you're not big enough, you're not this, we'll get another guy eventually. All he does is line up and play and becomes a difference maker and helping turn that organization around. And I can't be happier or more proud. And like I said, we stay in close contact a lot. And he's a tremendous human being, very special to me. So I say, been through some good times with him and some tough, things, with just his maturing all the way through here. A lot of the things that we're having these conversations about now, when we didn't do this, we didn't do that, he didn't do this, he didn't do that. Now he just, yes, sir, would listen and go 100 miles an hour. And man, what a joy, and so proud of him.
I think you guys had him back in the spring to talk to the team. Mm-hmm. Just what sort of impact is having a guy like that to point to for, current players, future players, that sort of thing?
And a guy that was highly recruited but not the super, superstar. What I'm saying? It was considered that. I mean, and his passion, and he just put his heart out there. Why he did it, what happened. And when he actually, for a couple years, he tried to play ball but be the student and have a good time. And, you talk about total focus. I mean, he focused, but he wasn't – and how he finally had to make that commitment. And once he bought in, he understood everything that Coach said. And then why I used to ride him so hard, and why I ride him so hard, and why we're so disciplined on things, and why we run the process which we run. He said, if you trust their process, it will guarantee you to come through. And that was the thing he kept sending to him.
Jimbo, can the next month and everything that lies ahead be an opportunity for some of your freshmen and sophomores to maybe lay a good foundation of kind of learning the right way to do things and responding from adversity?
No doubt. How to deal with that, how to deal with it if it comes in the future. And also for your upperclassmen, to how they want to send it out to set an example for those young guys and for if they get fortunate enough to move on. Because there's going to be tough times and tough things that happen. So I think it's an excellent opportunity. That's what we're looking for, guys that want to be the solution.
Jimbo, speaking of talent, have you heard from some other players in the last several weeks? Maybe you offer some encouragement or discussing?
I talked to them all. Jameis, and there's a bunch of them. I've KB's reached. There's guys that all reach back and say, tons of them. We talk to Devontae. Telvin, Joyner at times, Xavier Rhodes at different times, you name it. They feel that bond here and what we've built and the things we've had and tell them just tell them to believe you, do what you say, stay true to the process and the things we did, and it'll all work out.
Jimbo, what after a game like that, because you had been so close in those other mm-hmm. games against good teams, in a game like that, what is the self-reflection like for you? About how did we get to 2-5? How did we get to 35-3?
Very easy. And you sit back and you got to reflect on, all right, and how do we get back to the kids and teach them and make it a teaching point? And how do they learn from this and move on? And how we as coaches, how we got to make a difference in our each individual meeting room. Each coach has got to make a difference in his each individual meeting room to get guys to make sure they're doing the right thing and seeing the right things. And how do we need to, how we talk to them, how we move them, how we meet, how do we do anything. What's your individual responsibility as a coach to get guys to make sure they get the message and respond and handle things the right way and see the upside of things instead of the downside of things. And that's going to be the constant message because that's just like in life. You can sit and worry about what's wrong with you or you can worry about how to get better. There's two things. You can go to the doctor and figure out how to get better or you can sit there and dwell like some people do on what's wrong. You know what I'm saying? And you got to move forward. And that's what we're reflecting on.
After reflecting,
scratching our brains 100 ways. You got any good suggestions? You got any? You got any, Gene? Safid, y'all got any? Huh? You got any? I'm open. Give me some. Now wait a minute. Now y'all got questions. I thought y'all had. Oh, you write all the answers. Now wait a minute. Y'all don't want on the record with that, huh? You don't want to be accountable for that, huh? Now you're just like the daggone player sometimes. Now go ahead.
With that reflection, was there anything that you felt that you personally needed to change after the way that the game went?
Yeah, it's, again, how we're making sure we're getting the message across to our players and what we do in the game plan and how they got to compete and why it's important to compete and what you do. You meet with your team leaders, you meet with the guys to make sure that those issues and things go. And you always ask, is there something else? I always ask our players, something else I can do to help you? Had that conversation last year with Dalvin when everybody, he thought he was pressing early. And you know what his suggestion was to me? Go back and coach me like I'm a freshman. Exactly what he told me. Coach me when I first walked in there the same way. Put your foot on me, stay on me, and ride me like you do, like you used to all the time. And we did that, and good things happened. He went back to getting it. So, I mean, there's a lot of things in that regard in what you do. Now, I ask our guys that. You see guys that their performances in a year sometimes will, not quite playing up, and you'll say, hey, what can I do to help you? What do you think is the issue? We ask our guys that all the time to help them respond, coaches. We self-reflect a lot in that regard.
Jimbo, I know you guys had 2 days in a row of stretch and stride. This is going to be the 7th game in a row you played. I guess what are some things you're kind of looking for your team now with that, hard stretch going on?
It's just to be able to compete and be resilient and come back and prepare and be ready to compete in the game and give our fans the kind of team on that field that's competing their tails off like they should see. I mean, and that's what the whole goal is.
You see time after time, James Blackman kind of get injured, or not injured, but when he goes down, he gets hit hard, gets back up, and goes about the next play like it never happened. Is that just the type of guy he is?
Yeah, and that's the type of guy most all the guys I've ever played quarterback here are. Go back and look at them. I mean, they've all. From EJ with the shoulder that he had, probably with a broken leg a whole second half, Ponder with arms that, Jameis, they've all had that. I mean, Sean, they've all had that great competitive nature. And if you're a quarterback, isn't very competitive. I mean, DeAndre, think about what he went through last year. I mean, it's just part of the business. You go look in the NFL, the Brett Favre's of the world, the Peyton Manning's of the world, all those guys have those long game streaks and things like that. Those guys, that position is just, if you're not a competitive sucker, boy, you have a hard time ever just being an elite guy and making it.
Coach, what's the plan moving forward with Ermon Lane?
I can't hear you.
Ermon Lane, what's the plan, offense, defense?
Offense right now, keeping an offense with our numbers and where we're at.
And I guess with DJ and Tamarian, are they close? Are you seeing things in
DJ's
practice?
DJ's played some at times. Tamarian had he had a setback in his family. He missed almost a whole week, over a week of practice here recently had a death in his family. So he wasn't here. So, that set him back a little bit. But he'd gotten back, and then he was hurt. Had a little, not hurt, but had a nagging injury. Now he's gotten pretty healthy, and hopefully he'll get in the rotation. We were trying to get him in last week. We'll hopefully get him going.
Jim, when you talk about the changes, can you make drastic season changes?
Not, you
changes?
Can't drastically change things.
Is that something that has to come in the off season?
Or you reevaluate, and sometimes there's drastic changes, sometimes there's moderate changes. You have to evaluate that based on why things happen and what you have to do in your evaluations. And you got to make changes. Now you got to reach people different ways. You got to do things different ways, and get them to understand what we got to do. But I mean, to say you're going, all right, we're going to run a new offense. We're going to run the wishbone, or we're going to run 3-3 stack defense, or something. Those things, because it's still the knowledge of what the players know. And how you do it. And you just got to get them to do it better and find the right times at the right places to get them into that.
Do you think this season necessitates, drastic changes, but moderate changes?
Why drastic? I mean, at the end of the day, I'll say this, you're either 2-5, but you're one possession. If you make all, if we get a stop at Miami when we scored and we give up, one of the other games we win at the end of the game. I mean, and you're sitting there 4-2, 5-2, are you really any different? That's what I keep saying. I mean, you are, as far as record-wise and perception and probably confidence and reality and some things that allow you to push forward, but at the same time, the same issue, and that's things that, you always got to walk. And so we'll adjust as according.
Coach, got to ask, Bennett, any update on the injuries? I know Keith and some of those guys, anybody get on the mend this week?
No, they won't be back.
Okay. Any timeline for any of them?
I have no idea. I just they keep telling me that, they're getting better, but they won't be ready now.
With your offense, with a true freshman quarterback, true freshman running back, and so depleted at wide receivers. How hard is it to run your offense with that kind of inexperience?
Or any offense, no matter, not just our offense. I mean, any offense, because it's not just that their abilities, it's what they know in the game, experiences that they go through. But at the same time, I mean, you know, you put the load back, like I say, just the load going on number three compared to where nine was, where he could really didn't have to have the whole load. You know what I'm saying? And that benefit, it makes it tough. But at the same time, that's ball, man. You can't worry about that. And that's, you got to do the things you got to do to find yourself to be successful. And that's the hand we're dealt. And that's the one we got to go coach.
How is the offensive line playing in your estimation?
Solidly. I mean, you know, we missed some short yardage the other day, which was very critical in the game. And one of them, if we don't get tripped, it's probably an 80-yard touchdown. I mean, you don't hear that, but that's the truth. I mean, we get beat just to get caught by a shoelace. I mean, it's had a chance to make some plays there. But they've done better. They've gotten better. They've played hard. And we're improving.
Jim, I was just wondering how you've seen Syracuse evolve under Coach Babers and kind of what makes them a challenge.
Well, I think, first of all, defensively, everybody talks about them offense, but defensively, they're doing a really nice job. I mean, they got good players. They're give you a lot of different looks and different things that go on, and done a real nice job that way. Special teams, got good return guys, little quick guys that are very good with the football and do a great job blocking. Offensively, the quarterback, Dungy, makes a big difference for him. Having him back, I mean, because he can run and throw, and the experience and the games he played, the receivers are, got two of them with over 60-some catches. I mean, Ishmael, of course, is, you know, without catching a bunch of balls, they're running the football much better. And I think they're evolving into things, and Dino's always done a great job. He's a good, great guy and a really good football coach and done a heck of a job.
Their version of the tempo and all that stuff, is it similar to what you've seen already this season?
Mm-hmm. It is. I mean, they go fast and different tempos, but, I mean, it's similar to the other guys and what they do, and they just do it very well. And the quarterback, they got an experienced quarterback and a tough sucker, boy. He's a competitor.
Just dovetailing off what Tim asked, with that offense and the tempo that they run, how can you replicate that in practice?
We do that all the time. I mean, that, I hate to say that. I mean, you reps and your tiredness, but as far as the duplication of it, what you have is two offensive lines and two groups. While one group's already at the ball while the other guy runs a play, defense has to run back, the other group's already set up. So you're running two offenses at the same time. They have two offensive lines, two offensive scout teams. So when a play's ran that's 10 yards down the field, the other group's already at the line of scrimmage, waiting on that play. Defense got to run back, hurry up, get lined up and do that. So you do those. I mean, it even runs at a faster tempo than they would in a game. So you duplicate that every day. And now the execution of it and the athletes in it, I mean, to answer your question, I mean, that's different. I mean, you know, you still can never duplicate how good they are or what they do. I mean, to a certain point. But the tempo of it and getting lined up, getting your alignments, making your calls, those types of things, I mean, you've – saying you've gotten very adequate at that, because that's kind of the new normal to a point.
And then just also plans at punt returner the rest of the season. I know McFadden had to turn over.
We're not personnel decisions. I don't have a public discussion on. And I don't mean that in any disregard. I won't ever do that and talk to the players that are involved. And if things are different, they're different. If they're not, they're not. But I don't want to do that publicly.
Jimbo, this is your eighth season, and you're about to coach against your fourth head coach at the University of Florida. What does that say about the nature of this program, or the nature of this sport, where you're about to – it's the fourth different coach at the University of Florida you've coached against?
I never thought about that until you just said it, because I'm worried about when I stay in my cocoon. But it's a shame, because Jim McElwain's a heck of a guy and a really good football coach. And I've known Jim, and, of course, we had worked the same kind of people, and he's been very successful in a lot of ways, and this led him to two SEC West titles. So – I don't know what that's about, but it's the nature of our world today. I don't think just in sports, but I think it's pro sports, college sports, politics, everything is instant gratification, and, you know, there's no – the ups and downs, they want to – you know, you make changes and you move on. So that's just the way our world is today, and it's a shame. It really is, and I wish Jim and his family nothing but the best, because, like I say, he's a really good guy, and their players. That's tough. Maybe I don't realize that's tough on players too now. Very tough.
All right, we'll go to the phone for a question from Chris.
Hey, Jimbo, how you doing?
Hey, Chris, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing great. Akers on Friday night. I hope you can hear me. Friday night with the halfback pass to Murray. Are you going to use that more often? Because that was a very good play by him throwing that football. It looks like he could be another quarterback if you need him.
No, well, he's working on tailback. He's doing pretty good there, but he can throw the football. He has a lot of multi dimensions. As he fits into our offense better and he really starts to understand everything, you know, you'll be able to use him in different ways in different places. That's for sure.
And talk about Eric Dungy, the quarterback from Syracuse. Looks like he's getting better each year. What do you see from him last year, and what do you see from him this year?
Very good player. I mean, can create plays scrambling or quarterback run. Very tough guy. I mean, I remember watching his a few plays at Miami game. I happened to see it. We were on the road. I can't remember where it was. And, you know, him, just his hands all banged up, bruised up. He just keeps playing, throwing, competing in the game. And actually threw some picks in that game, but then had him right back at the game. I mean, you're talking about a competitor now. You're talking about a guy who can really play, and he makes a difference for him, and he makes him go. He's a heck of a football player, heck of a leader.
Well, good luck in practice this week.
Thank you.
Coach, we've seen some, you know, obviously you've had a youth movement on offense a little bit, but some of the younger guys on defense like Kando and Warner and Samuels, can you talk some about some of the progress that those guys have made in recent weeks?
A lot. I mean, Kando was playing really well. As you saw, he had a big tackle and strip in the Louisville game. Warner on special teams, and now he's evolving into the defensive scheme and playing. Stanford Samuels doing a great job. Marvin Wilson in that group's in there playing. Who else am I missing? Trying to think. But all those guys are making a significant difference and going to have to. You got to keep building that depth as you go on and for their future, because you're going to count on them in the future too. And they deserve to play. They practice well.
Jim, with the early signing period coming up, how important is it to kind of have it? Because, you know, you have teams that might be, you know, making changes with coaches and just having players in the fold despite how things are going with, you know, their season.
Oh, it is. I mean, it's you know, and then that's the one thing about it. When our recruits are all been very strong, they've been very supportive, very good, and the guys were here, and the guys have been at the games and things, and that's great. But, you know, to go ahead and get – the good thing is get part of that class out of the way and get it done. So your coaches can really focus on the final part of the class in January, where you're not having to go back and deal with still 12 or 15 or 18 guys you're still trying to hold on to that other people are trying to get back in on. So, I mean, it's a big deal, and it'd be interesting the first time we've had it and how that all pans out and, you know, and what you guys – who you think will sign and who will sign. I mean, they always – you know, they can always change their mind right up to the end. So it'd be real interesting. I don't think there's no doubt. I mean, I mean, if your mind's made up, it's fine. But if there's a change in the place that you've made your mind up to, I don't think there's any doubt. I mean, then I'm sure guys will wait to see. Or maybe they have, you know, that's where you may see teams push that up more and make their changes as soon as the year is over instead of waiting, so that because of that first signing period. It's probably going to change administratively too, as you think about it. You'll probably know who the coaches of those places are going to be a lot quicker because of the early signing period too, most likely, I would think, you know. Good. Thank you, guys.